Okay, Shavua Tov, everybody. Boker Tov. A pleasure to welcome Rabbi Litag, who through thick and thin doesn't miss a shiur, and from the hills of Yerushalayim, between Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv and Shoresh. A pleasure. Part three of our four-part series. As Alan pointed out, even though some people will be willing, the next shiur will be in 2 weeks during a Seder Tumei Tshuva. We will pause for Erev Rosh Hashanah because it is 6:15 in Israel, and Yontif is probably before your shiur ends. So we'll have to. Like that. Okay, yeah. Bakasha.
Okay, so I share my screen. So today's class is class number 3 in our Biblical Roots of the Holiday Prayers. Title, Shomea Tefillah, Prayer of Praise, and the Biblical Logic behind How and Why We Say Slichot. It's my little title, and I'll explain. Last night we began saying Slichot, I'm sure you all remember, and we're going to continue to do so until Ni'ilah. I hope people realize that Ni'ilah is basically Slichot over and over and over again. It's almost like the top 10. You know, when we get to them, we get the best refrains. We get like the top 13, Pizmonim that we've been during the whole, 2 weeks beforehand. And today's class, we're going to focus on understanding the roots of Slichot, what we say, and, things that we quote so often. I just want to appreciate primarily not so much, what we're asking for, but how we praise God before we ask for what we need. Also, Rabbi, if my connection is bad, let me know, because I'm not sure how strong the my upload speed is.
We can hear you fine. I can hear you perfectly fine.
Okay, so if it goes bad, let me know. Okay. Already. So just a quick review. I'm pretty sure one of the other series has talked about this in general, but it's just a quick overview of how Slichot works. Everyone knows the famous word of Rav Soloveitchik, that it's like a type of tefillah. Like Ashrei before Chatzi Kaddish, and then Shmon Esrei, and then and Aleinu. So pretty much Slichot covers the same setup. I want to add something a little bit different. You'll see why in a minute. But the overall structure is real simple. We praise God before we pray. And we're going to see that source in Masechet Brachot. And I'm going to focus on how we praise God, why we say Ashrei first, not just the Kapi Mincha, there'll be a deeper reason, and why what's called Shomea Tefillah, which you're familiar with, you'll see it. You'll see what I'm talking about very soon. I want to show you how beautiful that arrangement is. I'm going to call it a tapestry, and I hope you're using the right word for a tapestry. Now, what's our main prayer? The main prayer we're doing in Slichot, I'm sure you noticed, is we're asking God to remember his covenant of the 13 attributes of mercy. Remember? El Horet Elenu Lomar Shosaseh. God, you instructed us to say these 13 attributes of mercy. And remember today your promise to keep your attributes of mercy, okay? And therefore judge us accordingly. So the highlight of our prayer is we're begging God not so much for mercy, but to remember to be merciful. There's a big difference. We're not just asking, oh, I want mercy for this act. I want you to sit on the throne of mercy as opposed to the throne of judgment. I want you to be merciful, and then we'll talk. But first, I want you to get in the right. I want you in the right mood for that way. Okay. Now, after we have our introduction, before we praise, then we pray. So everyone knows there's, we have a little pizmon, like a little, poem, which is very deep and there's a lot of them are beautiful, but they're hard to understand. And then every poem or prayer, every pizmon is followed by the refrain of El Melech Yoshev and the 13 attributes. And we go either 3 times or 5 times or 7 times, depending on, when in the week it is. When we're over, when we finish praying, then we ask God to answer our prayers called Shema Kolenu. Then we do confession. And we remind God why he should give God some reasons for answering our prayers. That's the basic structure. I hope I didn't say something you didn't know before. And the famous point, which everyone talks about, is when we finish saying Slichot, is we say Kaddish Tikabel, which is called Kaddish Shalem, where the only other time we say Kaddish Tikabel is after every Shmon Esrei. The only time we say Kaddish Tikabel, not after Shmon Esrei, is after Slichot. Now, I want to discuss first the basic concept of praise before prayer. It's a famous Gemara in Brachot, Daf Lamed Bet Amar Aleph, the Rosh Rab Simlai. The whole Daf in Brachot is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu and his prayer, and it's like beautiful, two or three blot on this, beautiful midrashim and discussions of how we relate to God in prayer. But one of these, Rab Simlai says, Lo lam yisader adam shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'achar kach yitpalel. What should a person do before you ask for something? Always praise before you ask. And that's how we treat other human beings. If you need a, let's say, a rich uncle, you want a loan, you don't go and ask him for money. You go in first and say, I saw your daughter's graduation, how nice it was. I read your op-ed in the paper. I like the way you designed your office. You say nice things to him, and then you ask for your favor. So that's with people, kal v'chomer with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how do we learn this? We learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu, and we have a pasuk in Bet Hanan, which we're going to see very soon. Now, I want to talk about the example of the Gemara Greens, which almost is a bit surprising. How do we learn that you need to praise before prayer? From Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone knows Parsha Bet Hanan. Moshe Rabbeinu wants one last chance to go into Israel. So let's take a look at the Psukim, which you're all familiar with. Moshe prays to God, Vitchanen, remember? Hanan, Hanun, prays to God and says, Hashem Elokim, you began to show your servant how great you are because you just defeated Sihon and Og. You began the conquest of Israel. You told me I'm not going to cross the Jordan to see the conquest of the land. But hey, I started seeing the conquest with the land. We conquered Sihon and Og and Transjordan. Maybe, you know, maybe it's okay now. Okay? So it says, look what you did for us. And then we tell them how great you are. Where's there God like you in heavens or earth who can do great things like you do? That's the praise. And then what's the request? Let me pass over and see the good land and let me go in. Now, anyone remember God's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm sure you remember. What's God's answer?
No.
Yeah, he said no. Now, the Gemara talks about actually it's yes because God gives him a view. You know, you get a teal. You got a teal. You know, he went with Mark Shapiro to a high place and he gave a whole explanation of what's going to be in the future. It was he went on a torn motion teal maybe. But anyway, God takes him up to the Har Nevo and he gets a whole view. So it sounds like, but you're right. In Pshat, God says no. So why am I bringing this as a source? You should praise before asking for something. And I'm bringing a source where the answer was no. That's why the rabbis say the answer was really sort of a yes. Then they talk about if Moshe went in, it wouldn't be good for Am Yisrael, because all the famous Midrashim. Now, but remember this, we're going to quote this in Slichot, in case you remember. We say this, Pasuk, Asher Mi'al Bashamayim Va'aretz, Asher Yasech Masav Chivretecha. We say this in our Slichot, in our praise before we ask for Midot Rachamim. Now, here's my main Kiddush. I'll just spill the beans in the beginning, because maybe it'll be a little shorter today. I want to claim as follows. It's not just praise before prayer. The praise that we say has a direct link to what we're asking for. We don't just praise God in any form and then ask what we need. Whenever we praise God before prayer, the praise has to relate to what we're praying for. I'm going to bring some examples. Hope that's clear. You'll see it from my first example. It's something I think is obvious, but most people don't pay attention to it. Let's take a look. What happened to my screen? Okay. I want a big example from daily Shmon Esrei. Everyone knows in our Shmon Esrei, our prayer, like we talked about this last week a little bit, we pray for our needs on weekdays. And on Shabbos, we pray to be a good servant of God. I think that was our topic last week and the week before. But on weekdays, we pray for redemption, don't we? We pray Ga'al Yisrael. We pray for Kibbutz Galiot, for return of our exiles. We pray to rebuild Jerusalem. We're praying for redemption, to come back from exile and to return us from all four corners. Now, if you take a look in the first blessing, what's the first blessing? Well, the Chatima is Magen Abraham, which means what? The God who protected Abraham. That's not a praise of Abraham, because why do we say Magen Abraham? The source of Magen Abraham is from Brit Ben Abtarim, Covenant of the Parts in chapter 15 in Breshit. Remember, this was the first dialogue between God and Avraham Avinu. And how did the dialogue begin? After the War of the Four Kings and Five Kings, God told Avraham in a vision saying, don't worry, Avraham. I'll tell Avraham, Onochi Magen Lach, I'll protect you. And then remember, Avraham asks, how can you reward me? I have no children. God says, you'll have children. But what do you have to worry about? The children I promised you have to go through hundreds of years of outside their land to be oppressed and enslaved. Then they'll be redeemed. And after the redemption, with their great wealth, then they'll get the land. So God promised Avraham Avinu that he'll protect him. And indeed, God kept his promise, took care of our forefathers, saved them from trouble, saved Avraham from, we say every day in Pesukei Zimra, saved Avraham from Paro and Yitzchak from Abimelech and Yaakov from Lavan. He saved Yosef in Egypt he saved our forefathers, you know, and our ancestors from their slavery. He took us out with great wealth. He gave us the land. We conquered it. God fulfilled Brit Ben Abtarim. And as we say in the Seder, he continues to fulfill Brit Ben Abtarim. So because we're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you remember what our ancestors did, our forefathers, and you can bring redemption to their children. So when I praise God, God, the God who helps, and you're the God who protected Avraham Avinu, we're praising God. That's what you did in the past. But that relates to what we're going to ask for in davening, right? We're going to ask for redemption in davening. Okay? It's Shebach Meina Bakasha in Hebrew. I can't translate that. Shebach Meina Bakasha. It's praise in the context, I guess, of the prayer. Nice and simple. We're going to ask for refuah. We're going to ask in our prayers every day for refuah shlema, for a speedy recovery. We want good health, right? How do we praise God beforehand? B'chayim meitim, remember? You give life. B'chayim meitim brachmi. It's not only, we're not always saying God, he revives the dead. People are ill, he brings them back to life. People are down, depressed, to help them up. He makes things come back to life in every aspect of nature. So we praise God about being able to bring back life, which is the background that's praise is going to relate to asking for refuah, for asking for good health. And then we praise God, oh, you're kadosh, right? And you're special, you're separated from everyone. And we're kadosh, you chose us to represent you. And that's another good reason. That's what's great about you. And that's the reason to answer our prayers, because we're kadoshim. We praise you all the time. And therefore answer all of our prayers. So I'm saying, the three praises that we say before we ask our needs on every weekday Shmoneh Esrei are not just praise, but they're praise that relates to what we're asking for. But now comes the big part. I want to show you in the big section that we say, let me jump ahead for a minute. I call it the Shomei Aleh Tapestry. I'm going to go back in a minute. Just take a look. If it looks familiar, you said it a couple of hours ago if you're in Chutz Laretz. Remember Shomei Tfilah, Otecha Kobasa Yavo. This is the opening pizmon. We say it called Nidrei Night as well. We always say it before Shlichot. This is a praise section, probably like 50, 60 lines before we pray. And Shomei Tfilah is praise, isn't it? God answers prayer. I purposely didn't translate it because we're not going to read the whole thing. You'll be saying it every day. But there's 50, 60 some verses of praise. And on the right column is where the source is. Now, if it doesn't say the book, it's from Tehillim. Most of them are from Tehillim. Tehillim 65, Tehillim 86, 95, 100. You see what's happening? We're just quoting psukim from all over the place in Tehillim. And I'm calling it a tapestry. Why? Because there's a link from, it's not random psukim, but rather there's a flow. First, we're coming to bow down in front of you. We're presenting ourselves to bow down to the king. And then we're talking about, we collect a whole set of psukim from all over Tehillim about bowing down to God. Bowing down, presenting ourselves before God. Okay. Then we talk about how great God is. And we take psukim from all over the place. Ki gadol ata, gadol. See the word gadol everywhere? You can just take a look at it later on. You can take the source sheet and review it. And we have the theme of how great God is. After we talk about how we're coming before you and how great you are, remember, min kamocha gadol Hashem, etc. Then we're going to say, everything belongs to you. See the word lecha? We take all these psukim, they begin with you. I'm sorry, what's that? With you. It's all about you. Where is it? Lecha, lecha, lecha yom. Lecha shem agdula, chamam lecha. Pay attention, lecha shemaim. Ta, ta, ta. And then ata, 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 you, you, you. You deserve everything. It's all about you, God. Let's get things straight. And then we finally finish with, what are we finishing with? I don't have my mouse here. Okay. And then we have conclude and what we ask for, and our final conclusion is a famous song, Shamalach, Aguf Palach, and we're asking God for, now we turn quickly to prayer, you know, everything belongs to you, and therefore God, answer our prayers for the sake of your name and your reputation, etc. Now, let's go back up. That's Shomei Tfilah. It's a beautiful tapestry, but it's not random psukim. There's a buildup. And it makes sense because we're bowing down, beseeching God for our needs, talk about how great God is. Now, if I take a look at all these sources, let me go up a little bit. I made a little tally here, okay? From chapter 89 in Tehillim, Peitet, which I think probably, I'm sure Benny Guzay must have given a share on it sometime or other. I'm assuming some because it's the end of book three. It's the transition from book three to book four. It's like the bottom. It's the lowest point we get to in Tehillim. That's why the final line is like a short one. And then the answer is going to be Tefillah LeMoshe, book four in 90. But in 89, we have 8 verses quoted from Tehillim 89. And we're going to see it's all about praying to God, praising God before asking for God to remember a covenant. And we'll get that very soon. Now, you'll see, we're going to study today Tehillim Pei Tet to understand why we're quoting from Pei Tet. 6 verses from Lechun Ranana. There's a good reason why we keep from Kabbalat Shabbat. 5 verses from Ein David, which again is asking God about his covenant. We'll see in a minute. And then random verses from over the place. But what I want to show you is that almost all the verses we're quoting are all verses in their original, the praise of God before asking God to remember a covenantal promise. Not his covenant of the 13 attributes of mercy, but a different kind of covenant. We'll see which ones. Now, for example, if all the psukim in the Shomea Tefillah, there's only one from Chumash. We'll take a look at it right now. What's the one we have from Chumash? You can take a wild guess. Right? And Asher Miel Bashamayim Ba'aretz Asher Yosech Masech Vigurotech. Remember, that's the Gemara in Brachot we learn from. That's from Parsha Bet Hanan. So we're quoting here Moshe Rabbeinu. The only pasuk we're using in this tapestry from Chumash is that one from Devarim, which is the source of Shabbach before Bakasha. All the other ones, mostly from Tehillim and a couple from Yirmiyahu and a couple other random from Yeshayahu here and there. Now, so what I want to explain now, why are there so many verses from Tehillim Pei Tet? And the answer is simple. Why? Because we're going to read Tehillim Pei Tet, 89. And the main topic of Tehillim Pei Tet is a harsh request, a very difficult request. It's so harsh, that request, that I think Ibn Ezra in his commentary says, I can't read this chapter. I can't read it like in davening. It's too harsh. It's like complaining too much about God. We're too down on God. Because what are we doing? We're begging God. You made a promise to King David, okay, that his throne would be, he'd be king forever. And again, this is the end of Bayit Rishon, the beginning of Bayit Sheni, when Tehillim Pei Tet is authored according to Pshat of the Mizmor. And we're begging God, you promised Malchut David, you promised the Davidic kingdom, the monarchy would be forever, and it hasn't returned. What's going on? Second temple period, it doesn't return during the second temple period, and for sure not afterwards. So it's begging God, why did you break your covenant with David? How come you don't answer it? And begging God to bring it back. Now, before we beg God to remember his promise to David and bring back the Davidic kingdom, which we pray for that every day in Shmoneh Esrei, don't we? It's Samach David Merit Atzmiach, the Bekaratom Yeshua Techa. We ask for that after Yerushalayim Mecha Barachim Teshuv. But in this means we're asking for it. But before we ask for God to remember his covenant, we praise him. And we'll see how all the psukim, how we praise God in that section. Okay. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to jump now and study together Tehillim 89. And then we'll talk about the transformative nature of prayer. Okay, let's go to Tehillim 89. We went through those things. Okay. There's one thing. Yeah, I'm going to come back to this afterwards. Chris is a little bit out of order, because I think we discussed that beforehand. Okay. Remember, what are we praying for? Just a reminder. This is from I didn't even read the English, because we say this by heart. And every refrain is, we ask God to sit on his throne of mercy, to forgive our sins, take each transgression as a first-time sin, first and first, and you instruct us to say the 13 attributes of mercy, and remember today those 13 attributes. And then we'll talk about why we say it, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. We'll get to that very soon. But first, I want to go and talk about Tehillim 89. Okay. Now, just a reminder, before we do Tehillim 89, just a reminder from Sefer Shmuel what happened. In Sefer Shmuel, in Shmuel Aleph, we have this rivalry between Shaul and David. God agrees to establish a kingdom. He listens to the people. Goes against what Shmuel's advice was, but he tells Shmuel, give them a king. The kingdom monarchy begins with Shaul, who gets off to a decent start, but doesn't listen to God properly. And God takes the kingdom away from Shaul. He promises the kingdom and takes away from him. Now, and then he's going to give the kingdom to David. That's the main topic of Shmuel Aleph, about how God wants a king, why Shaul was appointed, and why Shaul was unappointed, because God was disappointed. Right? And then how God decides to keep the kingdom, though, and transfer it to David. And then there's topic, why David over Shaul? Topic for Sefer Shmuel. Now, when David establishes his kingdom, the first thing David does, in contrast to Shaul, he unites the nation. And he moves his capital city from the center of Beshevet, from Hebron, to Yerushalayim, which is on the border between, not just between Binyamin and Yehuda, but on the border between Bnei Rachel and Bnei Leah. He wants to unite the country. After he moves his capital to a border town to unite the country, he brings the Aron to Yerushalayim. The Aron was collecting dust in Kiryat Yarim. The Mishkan was in Nov and later in Givon. David's bringing everything to make Jerusalem not just a political center, also the religious center of the country. Then what does he do? He brings the Aron to Yerushalayim. There's some ups and downs, but finally it makes it there. That's when he composed. That's when they bring the Aron. That's when Asaph is appointed the chief Levite. We discussed that before. And then David, now that the Aron is in Yerushalayim, wants to build a house for God in Yerushalayim. Famous request. And when David asks God, you know, can I build a house for you? First, Natan says yes, but that night God tells Natan to tell David, slow down, not so fast. Right? But we're not ready yet. You did great things. What he says, he tells David, you did great things, but because you're a man of war and you're living in a time of war, it's not time yet to build. You'll have a son, and your son can build as long as he's a man of peace. So he explains as follows. Min hayom asher tzibiti shoftim, from the time I had shoftim, judges over Israel, you have all of them, you have more rest from your enemies than all the other shoftim. And God's telling you, before you can build a house for God, God has to build a house or a dynasty for you. Why? After you die, God tells David, kimu lamecha, and you'll pass on, v'shaptim avatecha, v'kimoti etzarcha acharecha, you'll have an offspring from you. Got it? Who live in peace. Okay? I'll establish his kingdom. And Dibrei Amim have a more detailed story that his name will be Shlomo because he has to be a man of peace. Who Yivdei Bayit Lishmi? He can build a house for my name, for my reputation, and I'll establish his kingdom forever. Remember, see the word Adolam. I'll be like a father. He'll be like a son to me. And when he does something wrong, I'll punish him. You think? I'll punish him even harshly when he goes wrong. But unlike Shaul, okay? The Chazdi, remember, this is key for the Mizmor. The Chazdi lo yasur mimeno. My mercy, if it's not mercy, here's chesed in the context of a covenant. This happens a lot in Tanakh, where the word chesed is very often in the context of a covenantal commitment, but a little extra in a covenantal commitment, more than the other side deserves. It says, I won't break my chesed with David like I broke my chesed with Shaul, which I got rid of. Notice, my covenant with Shaul wasn't forever. Therefore, he did something wrong. He lost it. You, no matter how bad you are, I'll punish you, but it's an eternal covenant. Basically, just like God's covenant with the Jewish people. Yirmiyahu talks about that in chapter 33 in Yirmiyahu. Just like God said, you're chosen, Am Yisrael is chosen forever. Their destiny is to be God's people forever. If they do bad, they'll be punished, like we saw in the Tochacha, but we're never divorced. We're always God's people, and ultimately there'll be redemption. It might take a long time, that's all. But it can't be, it's never a situation where our connection to God is lost. It's always our destiny. If we live up to it, that's our eternal challenge. But it will never be a point that the covenant is broken. So just like that's our covenant between God and his people, that's a covenant between God and David, Malchut David. And then God tells David, V'neman bitcham amtad olam, your house will be established forever. Your throne will be set forever. See the word adolam over and over again. And that's Kohad Bar Me'ela. That's what God told Natan to tell David. And David is thrilled. He thanks God profusely afterwards. He didn't ask for such a thing. He didn't ask for a monarchy and an eternal dynasty. He just wanted to build a house for God. God says, before you can build a house for me, I have to build a dynasty for you. Basically, the way most Parshim explain it is that before you build a permanent house for God, you have to have a permanent kingdom. And a kingdom is not permanent until you have a monarch succeeded by a son or by a heir and living in peace with full borders. So God tells David, you were living in a time of war, instability, civil war, war with the outside. We need another generation to make peace with one another, peace with the enemies on the outside, and then other nations come in and respect you. Then you can build a house for God to make God's name great. Now, so in the end of book three, which is probably the beginning of second temple period, a lot of them is more in there, but that's Benny Gesundheit, the expert on that. There's a maskil, psalm for Eitan Ezrachi. We don't know who he is, but Chazal, they related to Avraham Avinu for good reason. That's not pshat, it's Avraham Avinu. But it's related to the theme of God choosing Avraham Avinu to be his nation forever. But we'll see in a minute, it's about David and why Malchut David's not coming back. Listen to the opening statement. Chazdei Hashem Olam Ashira. I'm always going to sing about how great God, how merciful God is, his chesed, and his kindness within the covenant. And for all generations, we do this. Okay? For all generations, I'm going to tell everybody how trustworthy you are. Because I said the entire, everything is built on God's kindness. Now, then he mentions the Brit. Karati Brit Bevichiri. I made a covenant with my chosen one. Nishbati David Abdi. This is referring to what we saw in Sefer Shmuel. Adolam Machin Zarecha Veniti Ledor Vador Kisecha. I promised you, your kingdom would be forever. Okay? That's what we just talked about. And we're about to ask God to remember his promise to keep the covenant with David going and bring back Malchut David. Now, these psukim will look very familiar. All these we quote in Slichot, right? In the Shomei Tefillah. Again, randomly in different places based on their context, but we're all quoting from Yodu Shemaim Pilach Hashem Atun Kal Chetoshim. It should look familiar. Okay? B'Shachach Geroch Hashem Yidnei Hashem B'nei Adam. Again, all these praises of God, how great you are. Nothing's like you. No human powers, anything like you. El Nas Besok Kutim. Everyone dreads you. Okay. Everyone surrounding you is just amazed by you. Okay. Hashem Elei Tzvot Mich Kamocha Chasinya Emunchav Svetecha. All these Tzukim from Hey, Bav, Zayin, Chet, and Tet. We quote all these. This and Pasuk here as well. Your control, all the waves of the sea. Right? You're in charge. You only didn't realize that maybe, but you learned the hard way. Then what's next? B'chashmaim v'af arz tevim la atay satam. Up until we quote all these, Yud Gimel we don't quote. And then take a look at Yud Dalet. We quote this also, L'chazraaf guram toz orkata b'yiminecha. And then these are famous now. Tzedek mishpat m'chon kisecha, chesed b'met yikad b'fenecha. Your throne is established on what? On Ami's throne, doing tzedek mishpat. God's throne in God's kingdom is established. Remember, Machon means it's established. Your throne is established when your people, when you and your people do justice and righteousness. Chesed bemet nikad b'panecha. That's the way we present ourselves to God is doing by doing chesed and being truthful. Now, these are all verses of Shebach, but they're praising God before a request to remember his covenant. Oh, that's clear. That's the main point I want to show you. I think it was just when I discovered this, I was just amazed that almost all the psukim. And by the way, I searched; I couldn't find any source for who wrote Shomei Tefillah. So no one wrote it. Got it? It was composed. There's no authorship there at all. Maybe Hansham Malach is composed. That was Shlomo Karbach wrote. I'm pretty sure, right? Maybe he didn't Shlomo Karbach write Hansham Malach, or he just sang it. That's the famous Shlomo Karbach song. Now, it's one of his first albums. No, but seriously, I'd like to know all the sources. If someone can find it, please let me know. Who organized this? Who put these psukim together? Who made this tapestry? The author is from Tanakh. All the psukim, every line is a pasuk from Tanakh. But who organized them in order like this? I couldn't find any, even all the academic ones, all the machzors that give all the explanations, who's the author of each one. Couldn't find it anywhere. But again, if someone can find it, please tell me. Now, this should shock everybody, because you know all these psukim by heart, all right? Now, when did we say this? Someone tell me. Ashrayam yodea tura, Hashem bar panecha yarechun.
Before shofar blowing.
Right? How about the next one? B'shimcha yigilun kol hayom, b'shimcha yorumu. Okay? Kitiver zomar. Don't these three look familiar? I think it's after shofar blowing, isn't it? Before or after? Someone remember?
It's right after,
right? Yeah. After shofar blowing.
But they're set as a unit.
They're a unit. They're together. Almost no one realizes their context in Tehillim, correct? I'm sure this can, if you might have known it's from Tehillim 89. No one realizes the context of what it's in. What are we asking God to do? This is praise of God. Actually, we're praising ourselves now in front of God, right? But up until we were praising God, the transition pasuk was Tzedek Mishpat M'chon Kisecha, and now we're praising God, we're praising sort of ourselves in front of God. And what do we do? We know how to. We'll see. I'll try to explain what Yodea Truas. We'll see now in a minute. It's not they know how to blow shofar. Okay. Anyone can figure out what does it mean? A nation who knows how to blow a trua. Based on the source for remember Zichron Trua and the pasuk Kitavo Mechabar Barschem, the Rotem Machatzotrot, Vinis Kartem Lifnei Shadachem. Remember the pasuk we did last week, the source for Tefillah. Remember, what do? When we're in trouble, the assumption is we're going to see it very soon again. The assumption is that God brought the trouble upon us, and we're told in Sefer Bamidbar, should war be imminent in your land? We did this last week. Whatever the enemy might be. Remember chapter 10, verse 9 in Sefer Bamidbar. We gather together in the temple. We blow the trumpets. Okay? We remember that God judges us. Okay? And God will save us from our trouble. But what's that implied? We'll see very soon. In Shomus Tefillah, that means we gather in the temple to ask ourselves, what are we doing wrong? To hear the rabbi's speech, to introspect, and take upon ourselves to do better. And then if God sees we've done proper tshuva, then he'll answer our prayers. We'll see that explicitly by thing. So Adam Yodea, to a nation that knows not how to blow shofar. They know how to interpret the shofar to make it transformative. They understand the meaning of Jewish prayer. That you blow shofar, you have to hear the shofar, not blow the shofar. But you know how to internalize the message of shofar and do tshuva. Bor panecha, remember, ki bor panecha natat lanu Hashem Elokeinu, Torah Chaim Ba'al Bet Chesed, that's from Birkat Kohanim, Mitzim Shalom. The light of God is his Torah. Okay? We talk about you all day long, the blessings we make. Okay? Right? And if we sanctify you properly, then you raise us up and make us say, we said that this week in the positive side of the Tochacha. We keep God's mitzvot. All the nations will see that God's name is with us. Remember, Kishem Hashem Nikrai Lecha, and there'll be an all of us. Okay? Then he continues the Mizmor. What's it say next? So again, that's the background. What I'm trying to explain, that when we blow shofar, the psukim we're going to quote is, we're reminding ourselves, we know how to take the shofar and make it transformative and take upon ourselves to do proper tshuva, and do better. Now, then we continue. That's the Sheva. And then we go, as Dibarta, then we quote, you've told your Hasidach, it's David. Okay? I told you I brought you up from the miners. I found David, my servant. I anointed him. Got it? I get everything ready. He called me father. I called him my son. Remember, we had this great relationship with David. And what's the prayer? Atazanachta batimas. This is the pasuk that Ebenezer couldn't fathom. Yes? It says, we're accusing God. You rejected David. That's the word, batimas. That's the word that God said, that's what I did to Shaul, I won't do to you. Remember? He says, take a look at the word Misa again. Go back up before, way above, back in Sefer Shmuel, when God promised David, he says like this, yeah, v'chasdi lo yasur mimenu, mimsho kasher asiroti b'fanecha. Because I won't unchoose you like I chose Shaul. And what are we saying here? Atazanachta, Hashem. You what? You cast David off. Batimas. Okay. Hitabarte mishichecha. Where's that coming from? Hitabarta. Who can tell me where that's coming from?
Hitaber Hashem bilamanchem.
Exactly. That was God's answer, her negative answer to Moshe. Remember? This is hinting already to the answer. This is Tefillah LeMoshe. Remember, the answer, the peitet is tzadi. Remember, Tefillah LeMoshe, Ish Elohim? Then Yoshe B'Seh Teryon, the Mizmor Shilem HaShabbat, and we get the Kabbalat Shabbat. That's why Luchun Rana Psukim are central in this end. And then, Amma Hashem Tisateh LeNetzach, how come we're going to hide forever? That's Yoshe B'Seh Teryon. Okay? How come you're so angry with us, etc. all the time? Where's your kindness within the brit that you promised? Okay? Where you swore to David. Basically, the Mizmor is begging God to remember his brit. So what are we using? We're using all these psukim in our prayers. We're asking God to remember a different covenant, the covenant of the 13 attributes of mercy that came with the second luchot. So that's what I want to share with you from thing. And then I told you there are five psukim from Tehillim 74 from Askil La'asaf. Again, see the words Anachta. How come you're bending us forever? Anachta Netzach. How come you're so angry? You're punishing your people all the time. Now, take a look. Then we're about to ask God to remember His covenant. Don't these look familiar? Remember? These are in the Atas section of the Shomei Tfila. We quote all of them. This is the Lecha one. Ataisafta. Got it? So we're quoting right from here. Why? Because after all these verses of praise, guess what we say? Habrit labrit. Kibulu machshake eretz na'ot chamas. Got it? We're asking God, Habrit labrit. Look at your covenant. Okay. Which slichot is built on this verse? Anyone remember?
Yeah, remember.
It comes up many times in our davening. Then the famous line afterwards. Don't turn back the prayer of the oppressed. You know, help the poor and needy. Kum Elohim riva rivecha. Remember? Get up, God. You know, stick up for us. And al tishka kol tzarecha, shon kamecha ole tamid. Remember your nation, your people, and punish your adversaries and help us. It's praying that God remembers His covenantal commitment to save His people. And they'll quit letting our nations to punish us. But again, God's answer is on the condition you do proper tshuva, like we read this week in the Tochacha. Right. So that's what I want to share with you. Let's just take a look again, one more time in the Shomei Tfila, to see how many sukim are from here. That was the beginning one here. When we started praise, we quote from 89. We take these two, and then we have all the gadol ones, and then we have all the atas from which next one? We have all the atas we have from 74, so those together, and then towards the end we have 89 here, the chazraf laila, the chashamayim. It would say all the lachas begin and end with chapter 89, and then towards the end we have so many of them. Okay, and our special kedoshim, the odushim shemayim, these two over here we have. And then we have Tzadim Shem B'chon Kisecha. And that's how we end. And we go into Sukkim from that are similar from other Prakim. Now, what's our prayer at the end? Hanesham Malach, I'm sorry, Baguf Malach. The Neshama, which God made in man, belongs to you. That's also praise. That's the last praise. Okay. But therefore, have mercy upon us. And then, but do it for the sake of your name, your reputation. We're coming for the sake of your name, for the glory of your name, because you're El Chanun Baruchim Shemecha, Mashim Chashem Chachtavanin Kiravu. Now, go back, just, I want to explain now why we say Ashrei in the very beginning. Not just to be like Mincha. In Tila Le David, you know it by heart, right? Just think it, think to yourself for a minute. I can put it on the screen, I don't think we need to though. In the beginning of Tila Le David, we're talking about how great God is, and, you know, how wonderful He is. But there's a difference between saying how great, that God's great, and saying what's great about Him. Got it? You say God's great, everyone's talking about it, everyone's praising Him. Remember? I'll praise you every day. God's great. Okay, Dor L'Dor V'Shach Masecha. Everyone's doing it. I don't know yet what's great about God. You tell me. You know, you can answer in the chat or speak up, right? Where's the first line in Ashrei, in Tehillat David, that actually tells specifically what's so great about God? Where's the first line where I have a specific something that's great about God, something great about Him? That for sure, but before then. That's not how great God is. That's not what He does. That's how great He is. That's He's great. I want to know what He does that's so great. I can say, oh, great doctor, but, oh, you're great. You're a good, you have good, you can do that. You're a good surgeon. You know, you're an expert on, you're a heart specialist. I want to know what's, not that He's a great doctor, what's great about Him?
Kanun v'rachum.
Exactly. Chet is the first time. The first, the main phrase is Chanun Brachum Hashem Erech Hapayim Udo Chesed. That's how great he is. Now, where's that coming from? Chanun Brachum Hashem Erech Hapayim Brav Chesed. Now you see why we say Ashrei?
That's just the attributes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're going to be asking for. It's Shebech Meina Bakasha. Got it? I'm adding, it's not just to be like Shmoneh Esrei, like to be like Mincha. It's not just to be, that's fine, this, the format. But we're not just saying Ashrei because it's like Mincha. You follow? Because it's a prayer service. It's Shebech before Bakasha, before asking for Midot Torachamim. Got that? Now, okay, now I want to go and talk about quickly about our the prayer that we're asking for God's attributes of mercy. I'll do that quickly because I have to leave in 5 minutes. Just, I think we did this before. I just want to review it real quickly because it's critical. Okay? Okay. When we ask God for forgiveness, okay, my main point is that we're not saying, please forgive us. We're praising him that he can forgive. I think we discussed this many times. That God's attribute doesn't mean he will forgive, he can forgive. There's a big difference between the two. Got it? Saying, it's not that, oh, say these magic words and God will forgive you. It's saying them to remember he can forgive you, but you have to be deserving of forgiveness. If you really internalize that idea that God can forgive you and there's room to learn from your mistakes, that opens up the whole world of tshuva. And then if I know what I did wrong and I want to do better, remember, atachonin lamdat, our first daily Shmoneh Esrei. Okay? We ask God for wisdom to know between what's right and what's wrong. Because I don't know what I did wrong, I can't do tshuva. I might know what I did wrong, but I have to want to do better. Now I know what I did wrong, I want to do better. Now we ask God for slicha, for repentance, for to accept our prayer. Then we can ask for our needs. Now, in the Pismon, the one we did last night, the famous one. The Shema Rabina Bela Tefila, everyone remember it? Any show with the choir? I'm sure everywhere there's a chazan or a choir, there's a piece on the Shmuel Rina Bela Tfila. It's famous chazanut. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing, it's just a beauty. Remember? I'm going to say Menucha, he come first to turn to you. Listen to us, Hatas Necha, Yoshev Tila. And we're not going to study that whole piece, Mon. I just love, there's one I like the most here. Towards the end. What's the last one? Pnei. Here. Okay. Pnei na elatlaot balachatot. Turn to our troubles. Look at our suffering and not to our sins. Okay? Sadek Sokha, make the ones who cry out to you. Justify them. One who can do wonders. Listen to their requests. Hashem Tzvot. Bishmo Rina Bela Tfila. Now, the author of this mizmor, I had the name, but I forgot to bring it, but clearly, it's taking this from Shlomo's tefillah. Why? Because when Shlomo dedicates the temple in chapter 8, he builds it in chapter 6 and 7. Chapter 8, he gathers a nation and makes a big prayer, gathers the nation and prays, a whole big thing. And then he says, "Kam nam yishev elim al arz." There's no room for God everywhere, for sure not in this house. And you don't need this house, but we need a place to represent you. And therefore, ufinita tefillat avdacha, turn to the prayers of your servant. And the supplications, Hashem Elohai, Bishmo Rina Bela Tfila. But that's no doubt that's the source of the Bismol. Got that? Now he explains what does Tfila mean? We ask God that his eyes should be open to this house day and night, okay? Which is a place which is associated with God's name, God's reputation, the big theme in Chumash. Bishmo Tfila, Asher Ipala Odam. Now we have examples. What do people daven for? Opening line. Listen to the supplication of your servant and your people. So they pay this place. We're not praying to God for our needs. We're praying to God to forgive us for our sins. Got it? What's this? I mean, if we're in trouble, we did something wrong. So when we realize we did something wrong, we're asking God, forgive us, and that will give a reason to make things better. So I'll bring some examples that he brings. I'm not all of them are just the simple ones. This he gets right out of Shema. What does Shlomo say? Beyetzer Hashemayim, Pasek Lamed Hey, right? Should there be a drought? No rain? Lo Yematar? Why? Ki Echdulach. Now, everything we saw in that Pasek about blowing the shofar, about transformative prayer, hearing the shofar and asking, what did I do wrong? We see every stage right here. Should there be a drought? Why? Because we've sinned. We come to daven at this place to the temple, recognize your name, right? We do tshuva from our sins, and then you answer our prayers. Okay? There's a machloket of how to translate ki tanem. Does this mean then you answer their prayers, or that's why you afflicted them? It goes either way, but that's a great machloket. Look in different translations how they translate ki tanem. Is it Lashon inui or Milashon answering? Okay. Then atatishma shamayim. Listen. Vasalakta lechatat abdecha b'amcha Yisrael. Serve why? By doing what? Ki torem et haderech atoba sheyechuba. We come to the temple to hear the rabbi's speech. Got it? To instruct them in the proper way to go. And then if we do proper tshuva, then you'll give rain at the right time. We're not praying to a rain god for rain. Our God's not a rain god. He's the God in charge of everything. We pray to remember he's in charge and he gives it based on our deeds. That's transformative prayer that affects how we behave. Should there be a famine in the land? Rav ke ba'aretz, dever, anything, right? Anything that our enemies giving, you know, it's kol nega b'chol machalat, any kind of trouble that comes up in davening. What do we say finally at the end? Kol tefila, any prayer, any supplication, kol tefina, that anyone from your nation, asher yedun ish nega b'chol, each person has to know what's wrong with him, not with somebody else. What's my sin or our sin, right? He lifts up his hands in prayer to this house. What did we pray for? Again, forgive us for doing. And give everyone what they deserve, because you know their hearts. You're the one who knows. Give people based on their true sincerity, and only you know who's really sincere. Therefore, judge them accordingly and look for a sincere heart. So that's what I want to share with you, that idea of tefillah. And therefore, after we have all these pizmonim and pray, they can answer our prayers, then we ask God, if we're merciful to others, remember, if you emulate God, if you're kind and forgiving your fellow man, then God can be forgiving and kind to you. So we ask God to sit on his seat of mercy, remember, and remember all the, here we go, sorry. Remember his attributes of mercy. And you instructed us to say these 13 and remember today, like you told Moshe Rabbeinu. And I'm not going to do the whole shiur on the 13 midot, but in a nutshell, in Masech Rosh Hashanah, the famous Gemara where God says, Vayvor Hashem apana b'yikra, Rabbi Yochanan quotes the Pasuk and says, if it wasn't written, you couldn't say such a thing. This teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself in a talis and taught Moshe Rabbeinu how to daven. Says, whenever you're in trouble, say these. Sounds like a magic incantation. Say these 13 midot and I'll forgive you. But it doesn't say them. It says yasu. Act accordingly. Act like God does. Yasu l'fnei haseder kaseder. You do rachum v'chanun erach apayim brav chesed, and God will be that for you. Now, God's saying there's always a chance of forgiveness. That means, yes, he can forgive. If he will, that depends on your behavior and your sincerity. Again, that's what's so important about tefillah. That's why we have to say them over and over again, because that's the background to all type of repentance. Okay. Anyway, I have to stop here. So if there's anything in the chat, I didn't see anything in the chat today. Was there no chat? Okay.
There are a few small questions. There are, Rabbi.
Yeah. What were they?
Let me see.
Oh, I see them now. I just see the chat.
Not much, actually.
Okay, source sheets. Okay. Oh, yeah. I think I have a source sheet link here.
I posted the source sheet.
Yeah. Okay. I have a link there also. Okay. Do you have I have Goldschmidt. Yeah, I didn't see there. Does he have? He has a note about it? I didn't see. Oh, on Shamalach, maybe he has. Okay. But not the Shamay of
Tila. Shamalach, he has.
Yeah. Okay. I have to take a look. Okay, since God didn't, in 18 of their plant pins, what is it? Since God isn't an ATM, or the end, and these aren't pins, that's right. This must be for our benefit. Yeah, exactly. That's my point of Shelley's question. It's not a magic incantation saying these magic words, he'll forgive you. It's understanding them. That's to know God, to understand our relationship with him. You say them over and over again to remember the kitab, because that God can forgive is the essence of our whole tshuva process. But with Miriam, that's true. The time he doesn't praise first with El Narufan Allah. Sometimes there's a whole, there's a great Ibn Ezra, when you have an emergency, you have to do what you have to do right away. You can thank him later, but she's in need right away. You just pray right away for her needs. But then that's when Moshe's praying for somebody else. When you pray for yourself, that's something else. When you pray for somebody else, you can ask the prayer right away. But when you're praying for yourself, you do praise first. I think those are the main ones. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Rabbi. I'm going to.
Rabbi, go and go dance at Steak Fasanas. Yeah.
No. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Mazel tov. Okay.
Okay. Okay. You take right. over. I'll leave now.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. Okay, everybody. Tomorrow, regular schedule this week, our 12 Shiurim. Tomorrow, Lindsay Guhart's at 11 a.m. Perek Gimel of Sefer Yonah. And then Avi Walfish will be finishing the fourth Perek in Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, sort of the literary analysis of the Mishnah. So that's tomorrow, 11 and 1. And basically all through the week, all the regular Shiurim. The Parsha Shiur this week is being given by Miriam Krupka at Ramaz, from Ramaz. And like I mentioned, there is no class next Sunday morning, Rabbi Lichtig. It will be ending at 7:15 if it's already the beginning of Yontif in Israel. So no class next Sunday, but we will have, on the Thursday, Friday, right after Yontif, Rosh Hashanah. And then, of course, the week, we'll have a little bit between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. I will mention now, Michelle Friedman, this is the psychiatrist, Dr. Michelle Friedman, who does a lot of wonderful work in our community, is going to be giving a talk on the psychological aspects of tshuva. So that will be Thursday, September 29th, I believe. We'll send out an email, but just to let you know, that's sort of a one-time talk. That's going to be on Thursday at 10:30 a.m., I believe, a couple of days after Rosh Hashanah. So just to give you a heads up on that, and everybody have a wonderful week and all good things. And we look forward to learning with you soon. And always invite a friend, especially before Yontif time. And thank you very much. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I can't seem to access past talks that I wasn't able to hear. How can I do that? It seems
okay. So either you go to our Torah Motion YouTube channel, or you go on the website where it says, Tim Torah. Just click on Tim Torah. You can even put in a name of a speaker if you want a particular speaker, or they're in sort of, in chronological, in reverse, like the latest one is posted first. So you can just like scroll down and you can either watch, or the third way, you can go to the program page. In other words, any one of these, each year has its own program page where it describes the program, where we post the sources to the program. And we also post there both the YouTube video and the audio. So if you want to listen audio or watch, so there are basically three ways you can listen to everything.
Thank you.
I hope that helps. Okay.
I hope it does too.
Okay. But send us an email. If there's a problem, we'll help you out.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.